Lord Jesus, what a wonderful promise to rest on today and always that you love us, and that is the reason why you came out of your love to save us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I always love a good story. Does anybody like stories? Anybody read stories too as a kid? Have your parents read you stories? It's always a fun time for me. Do you remember the story, The Little Engine That Could? It seems to be a popular one. I think I can. Finally gets to the top of the hill, even though he's mocked at by all the other nice looking trains. But with just a little bit of effort, he gets to the top of the hill, gets over. Maybe you think about the stories as you get older, you think about the stories of love. Seems to be what's most popular today, right? The romantic love stories, the Twilight series. I don't know if you guys are too old for that, but some of the more popular ones. Maybe one of the old dramas. Pride and Prejudice, one of the classic ones. Seems to be a longing, a great desire to hear a story of all love. It's because it's the greatest thing that we could ever possess and the greatest thing that we long for. And so that's why, one of the reasons why this story of Jesus is so touching and so well remembered is because it is first and foremost a story of love. The other thing about the stories is that it's the stories that are true that are the most meaningful, right? You can have a nice story, but if it doesn't really relate to you, if it doesn't really come from personal experiences, it's easy to just kind of dismiss it as a nice tale. But here in the story of God, we find not only the story of love, we find not only the story of hope for people that are supposedly hopeless, but we find a story that is true. A story that is true for you and for me, not just because anyone told it, but because God himself told it and wrote it and acted on it. And that's what Jesus is doing today. He's telling the story of his love to people like you and me. People who without him would be lost in our sins. Or rather lost in our good deeds, thinking that we can just trust in ourselves and we'll be okay. And we don't need to be afraid. Or maybe people that think there's nothing after this life, that all roads lead to heaven, and it doesn't matter what you believe. Jesus tells us a story. He tells the story here to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, someone who was consumed with his own self-effort to earn his standing with God, who came, though, to Jesus by night, probably was afraid of what other Pharisees would think about him. But yet he's curious, because he sees God working mighty signs through him. So he can't help but ask him some questions. And it's important to remember that this man, Nicodemus, was a man who was lost. He's a man that was consumed with his own pride. He didn't see the salvation that God was giving. We thought that maybe if he just was good enough, God would let him in the kingdom. And these are the people that we see today. People that would be lost. People that would be easy to write off as judgmental, as foolish, as hopeless. But yet Jesus doesn't do this. Instead, he tells him the story. But first, he challenges his own statements, saying that, no, I know you think you're seeing the kingdom of God. I know that you think you know what you're seeing, at least signs that I'm working, but unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, born from above, literally, in the Greek, right? You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom. It's not about your own effort. It's not about something that you can do. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's about being born again. So that you can do something and inherit something that you cannot do on your own. But rather given to you from God, from the Spirit. And instead of giving Nicodemus a mighty sign, he gives him the sign maybe that Nicodemus would expect. Rather, he gives him a sign that he wouldn't expect, which is the sign of his cross, isn't it? In verse 15. In verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is the sign. This is what we look to know what the story is about, and to know that we can trust the Lord. It's a sign of the cross. It's a sign that we need. Do you remember the story that the Israelites had been grumbling again, as they always did in the desert, right? This time God kind of lost his patience with them, and he sent fiery serpents to them, and they were biting them, and they were dying because of these serpents that were biting them. And they repented and said, you know, we've sinned. Please, Moses, pray to God to rescue us from these serpents. So God told Moses to put a bronze serpent on a pole and to lift it up, right? And any Israelite who was bitten by the snake could look to that bronze serpent and they would live. And it's the same thing Jesus says with me. And whoever believes in me, whoever looks up to me at the sign of the cross will have eternal life, even though they are dying. Even though they are dead. Poisoned by sin. And then he tells him the gospel story. Let's look at this. Break down these words. For God. Notice who begins the story. God is the actor. God is the initiator. God is the beginning and the end. The story is all about him. He's the main character. Without him, nothing good can happen. For God so loved. Why is he acting? It's because of his love. before we get angry at God, before we accuse him of being unfair, before we start to wonder how he could send someone to hell, we have to remember what is clear, that God is love. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He cannot do anything that is not loving. He is acting out of love. When he sees our wretchedness, when he sees our poison from sin and our dying, he has compassion. He has mercy. He wants to intervene. For God so loved the world, all the people, you and me, that boss that you can't stand, person at school that you can't stand, people in your family, the relatives that you don't look forward to when you gather together, person who cuts you off in traffic, friends that have betrayed you, the addicts, those that have been written off as hopeless, those that hide in the shadows of their sin, those that try to hide behind their good deeds. God loved them. God loved you. This is why God is acting. The world is the object that is receiving the love. For God so loved the world that he gave. When you love someone, you want to give, don't you? You see that in a parent for their child, right? They love their child so much, they said they'll give them anything so that they can have what is best for them, so that they can have the life that they want. I just heard someone say not too long ago that, oh, they'll never understand. My daughter will never understand how much I love her. Well, she has a child too. It's hard for a child to understand the love that a parent can have for them. It's the same way it's hard for us to understand the love, amazing love that God has for us. What we can begin to as we read the story. If you think so much of love and giving, when you think of a relationship or a significant other, the beginning of when you met your spouse, right, and those emotions were high, it's kind of easy to give to that person because you can also get a lot from that person. But here, the love of God is still amazing that he's doing it for people who are rebelling against him, who are his enemies, who he can't really get much out of. He's just doing it out of his own mercy and compassion. He sees our condition and he's not willing to leave us. He's not willing to give us up to our own sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God gives up, which is most precious to him. Imagine giving up your only child, your only son or daughter. What would it take for you to give it up? Maybe to save someone that you loved. How about to save an enemy? Would you give up your child? The love of God beyond our minds, imagination. See, God's love was so amazing that he was willing to go to the greatest lengths to bring us back, to get us back to him. It even says in the Gospel of John that there's no greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And yet in Jesus, in giving up not his only son, he gives us himself. He himself lays down his life for the sins of the world, for his enemies, to make them his friends. That whosoever believes in him, see, at first glance, if we read through this story of God, we might become universalists, and it actually goes on to verse 21, right? That's Jesus' discourse doesn't end on verse 17. Rather, it goes on to say in verse 18, forever does not believe, it stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's Son. But here we see how we receive the gifts that God is giving to us. We receive it through faith. Although it is for all the world, it is received by faith. It is not a guarantee that if you are born, you will receive it. But rather, through faith, you receive it. Same way, this is what they talk about with Abraham. In our readings, the righteousness of faith. That Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. And yet, Abraham's faith wasn't counted as works, but counted as grace. So he had nothing to boast about, because it was a gift from God. So that, as it says, so that the promise might rest on grace, not on our own effort. Whoever believes in him. Faith is not just a knowledge in our heads. Even the demons know that God exists and that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, faith is an ongoing thing. It's a present participle in this text. It's an ongoing thing that trusts and loves the Lord and Jesus because of it's received the love story of Jesus. So it knows. So it believes. So it looks up to the cross as the only hope and the only source of life. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Literally here, to be destroyed. Should not be destroyed. Our state without God is we will be destroyed. Separated from life, without him, we are dead. Just like the Israelites dying from the snakes that have bit them. Our destiny without God is eternal destruction and hell. Unless God intervenes, unless he gives us his grace, we're lost. We will perish, we will be destroyed. But why Jesus came is so that we would not perish, but have eternal life. So now we see the goal of why Jesus came. We see the purpose of the entire story. We see the purpose of the entire acts of his love from beginning to end, so that you would not perish, but have everlasting life. And do you know the story? You know that life is found in Jesus, that it's a free gift. So you don't have to listen to the lies about where life is found. It's not found in looking up to a human relationship or to an addiction or to money or to possessions or to popularity. We know through faith found, life is found in looking up to Jesus. And looking up to Him, we know we are cured, we have life, and nothing can take that away. Not even the devil or the grave. Because we know that Jesus Himself, when He died, He rose again from the dead. That's why this story is still told. Because just as Jesus died and rose again from the dead, so those who die in Him will not die, but rise to everlasting life. See, that's the last part of the story. Is that the risen Lord will greet the risen believers, and they will live forever and ever. And we, like Nicodemus, have heard God's love story and know that the story is for us. What will we do with that story? We know the world needs it. We know the world has been deceived. And we know the world is dying. And we have the answer. We have the life. So we need not say, I don't know what to say to my friend. I don't know what to tell them. We have it right here. And this simple verse, the entire story of Jesus' love, why He came to give you life. He gives you it as a gift by His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.